Brother Dobert mentioned two men. He said, it's difficult to get them up. Maybe he'll be glad to get one of them down. Now I want to read three references. First in the Philippian Epistle and in chapter 1. And the passage is well known, the verse already quoted by our previous speaker, verse 23. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. And from the second epistle of Paul to Timothy, and in chapter 4. And we shall read at verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And a final reference from the Acts of the Apostles, on reading in chapter 20. We read at verse 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, unto all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one, night and day, with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. That will suffice for a reading from the word of God. I think we'll all agree that when we come to the end of another year, that for some people it has been a year of joy. Some in their family have seen the hand of God in blessing and in salvation, and to bow the knee in the presence of the living God and give thanks for prayer that has been answered. For others, as they look back, it can be a year of sorrow. We think of some that lived with us in our home and have been taken away. And thankful we are for those that have been taken to the glory of heaven. We have heard from our first speaker on the subject of resurrection. Their bodies will rise at the first resurrection when the trumpet sound is heard. Many of the dear saints have departed. And in the three passages which we have read from the Holy Scriptures, I want you to think of three occasions when the Apostle Paul mentioned his departing or his departure. First of all, we have read in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 23 of his desire. He had a desire to depart. And the subject there is Christ. Paul had a longing to be with the person whom he loved and whom he served. And Paul never ever forgot the experience as he journeyed toward Damascus with authority from the chief priests to bring Paul bound unto Jerusalem. There was divine intervention, and the voice was heard, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Paul had a desire to be with Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, he again mentions his departure. And writing to his own son, he said, "I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." And in this passage of the Word of God, the thought is the crown. He said, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but also to all them that love his appearing." This would follow very closely with the ministry of our second speaker. He has been speaking of the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. It may take place today. And he has been speaking of the bema and the crown and the rewards that will be given out. Paul is thinking of the crown. But in Acts chapter 20, he called together the elders of the church at Ephesus. And Paul is speaking again of his departing. And brethren, in this passage, it's not the person of Christ, neither is it the crown, but Paul is thinking of conditions. Paul is thinking of the time when he is gone, and that which is going to come in to the church at Ephesus. And I would say to everyone gathered here tonight, it would be good for you and I, at the close of the year 2009, to think of conditions. And if we were taken away, what are we leaving behind? I very often ask myself the question, what kind of an example have I set for those who will follow on? We think of some of the outstanding men of our Bible. And Moses, when he was taken, there was a young man called Joshua. And Elijah, when he was taken, there was a man called Elisha. And Elijah's mantle fell on Elisha. And when the Apostle Paul was taken, there was a young man called Timothy. And he said in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 20, "For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." And I want to think of a number of things on the surface of Acts chapter 20 that Paul had in mind. It seemed to be a burden to him. And he called together on this occasion the elders. And Paul was a man
that shed his tears. And Paul was a man that was thinking of that time when he is gone. First of all, I want to notice verse number 24. Paul speaks of his course. He had one thing in mind, and that was that he might finish his course with joy. We have heard from our first speaker how that any one of us could sin, and how that any one of us could fall, and may the Lord preserve us and keep us in his fear. Some time ago, two men were talking after the breaking of bread on the Lord's day, and one brother said to the other, "Our families could let us down." And the other man said, "You're right, but always keep in mind, if not preserved, that we could let our families down. May God help us, brethren. There's a course that is before us." And the writer to the Hebrews in chapter 12, he speaks of us as a race that is set before us, and let us run with patience. I remember the late Mr. Joseph Millen on one occasion at a believer's meeting, and he told of two old brethren that were walking many miles after they had preached the gospel message. No transport at that time the way we have today. And they had 1 mile to go. And one of the old brethren said to the other, "We've only 1 mile left." He said, "You're right. But remember, we could stumble at the last mile." May God help us, brethren and sisters. Here's a man. He's thinking of the course. He's thinking of the finish. Verse number 27, Paul is thinking of the council. There's something that he didn't shun to declare, and that was the whole counsel of God. And he said in the chapter, "I kept nothing back that was profitable." I want you to think of Paul's faithfulness. Paul declared it all. We are living in a day, brothers and sisters, when things are not being taught today in the way that they were taught in a former day. I was having gospel meetings many miles from home, and I wasn't traveling. I was staying in a brother and sister's home. I was well looked after. And after the meetings had continued for a number of weeks, they said to me, "Tell me, what is your mind on assembly conditions in this area?" And I can tell you, brethren, it's not an easy thing to stay in someone's home and receive their kindness. And I wouldn't like to be bad-mannered. And you all know that. And I'll tell you something more. I wouldn't like to be classed as a tale-bearer. To go into someone's home and talk about them throughout the country. And I asked the brother two things. I asked him, "Tell me this. Does anyone ever teach in this area the truth of headship? Are the words of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 ever read? That man is the head of the woman. And God is the head of Christ. And Christ is the head of man. Is the truth ever taught? Does anyone ever open the Bible and show sisters from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that their hair should be its natural length?" And brethren, I would go as far as to say that Paul was a man, and he was faithful, and he taught it clearly. Then I asked the man another question. I said, "Tell me this. I have been in the homes of believers. And when I was saved in 1964, I can recall the ministry of the late Mr. Frank Knox, that faithful servant of the Lord. And I'm going to come forward to the desk, and this is what he said. Have you got a TV? Have you a TV? And there was a silence over all the congregation. In my home, brethren, I'm going to have an inspection. I got a letter a few days ago. And there's a person coming to inspect the home. I don't know whether it's a man or a woman. But they won't accept my word that in the home I haven't got a television. And I'm 66 years of age. And I've lived in 5 different homes. 3 with my parents. And 2 in married life. And I never brought it in. And I can tell you this. How anyone would expect to see their children saved and on the way to heaven and bring it in so that the devil might use it to damn our children in eternal fire forever. Brethren, Paul and his counsel, he was a man that was faithful. I want you to notice verse number 28. Paul in the church. And when he thought of the church, he was thinking of food. Feed the church of God. There were men that God had raised, there were Holy Ghost overseers. There were men that had the qualifications. And no man has the right to act as an elder in God's assembly if he hasn't got the qualifications. When I was a little boy, I can remember to be on the police force, a man had to be 6 foot. And if he fell short of the required measurement, he was rejected. And a man on one occasion, 5'2", went to join the police. And the sergeant looked over the buried counter at him. He said, "There's no way. And for the elder in God's assembly, there is a required standard. There should be food for the people of God." There are 3 outstanding examples in the Old Testament scriptures. Genesis chapter 37 and verse 2. Joseph fed the flock. The man that God put in the position, the storehouse in the land of Egypt, the man that had sufficient for all, there was a time that Joseph fed the flock. Exodus chapter 3 and 1, there's another man and his name is Moses. And all knew that his life was divided into 3 periods of 40 years. 40 years in the land of Egypt. 40 years in the backside of the desert, and 40 years as he led them through the wilderness. And Moses was a man that led the flock. Yes, the man that was going to bring the nation out, and the man that God appeared to as the bush burned with fire and was not consumed. He was a man that led the nation. And then there's David. You remember how it said of David, 1 Samuel chapter 16, in verse 11, he was a man that kept a sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, when 7 sons passed through, and 7 sons were seen by Samuel, are these all thy sons? And Jesse said, there's one. What was he doing, brethren? He was keeping the sheep. May the Lord give us food for the people of God. For children recently born, 1 Peter chapter 2 is the sincere milk of the word. When I was a little boy, my mother gave me milk. And I wasn't very well. And she told me very often you were a puny little boy. A puny little boy. And as I got older, I was weaned off the milk. And I got something that was more solid. And I'll tell you what I'm very fond of. I'm very fond of a sirloin steak. And I told a man not so very long ago, there's only one thing I know better than a sirloin steak. And he said, Tom, what is it? I said, it's two. It's two. And if we're going to grow, brethren, we need our daily food. And believers, young and old, we need spiritual food. Verse number 29. I want you to think of Paul's care. And when we think of Paul's care, Paul is thinking of the flock. There was something that was very dear to him. And the reason is this. It was the cost of this flock. There was a price that was paid for them. And the price was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter emphasized it in his first epistle. Not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. Let us continue to sing with boys and girls. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. 2 minutes before 9. Verse number 31. I want you to think of Paul's concern. And when we think of his concern, he's thinking of the future. After my departing, grievous wolves shall enter in among you, not sparing the flock. There was a man telling me only a few days ago about a farmer. And two Alsatian dogs got into his field. And they killed many of his sheep. And you all know what a farmer would do. And with a shotgun, he shot them dead. Two Alsatian dogs. Brother, what would it be like if a wolf got among the sheep? Indeed, in our Bible, when we're thinking of the devil, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, he's spoken of as the roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And when the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking of Herod in Luke's Gospel chapter 13 and verse 32, he said, tell that fox. The fox is a cunning animal. The fox knows exactly when to pounce. But rather than here in Acts chapter 20, Paul is not thinking of the lion. Neither is he thinking of the fox. Paul is thinking of the wolves entering in. And he said, among your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things. I remember many years ago, it was the Lurgan Bible readings in October, and they were studying 1 John chapter 2, and they came to verse 19. And they asked the question, one by one, why did they go out? They went out from us. They were not of us. And different brethren give their view on why they went out. And the late John Douglas stood to his feet. And this is what he said. Said he, I'm no so much concerned than we that went out. Says he, how did they get in? Or how did they get in? Brethren, we need to be very, very careful in reception. Who is brought in to God's assembly? Will there be a help? Years ago they were told what was expected of them when they come into God's assembly. Young men, behave yourselves. And you young sisters, don't dress as the worldly sisters dress. Dress in modest apparel, like women professing godliness. and show to all outside, even though you bear your reproach, that you're born of God, that you're on your way to heaven. My time is gone. I want to finish. Verse number 32. Paul is thinking of continuity. And when he thinks of the subject of continuity, there's a reference to his fear. And I'm sure it's the desire of everyone that's gathered here tonight that the assembly in which you form part, that it will continue. The assembly here at Albert Bridge Road has continued for many years. It used to be Mourne Street. And I remember as a boy brought up, as you've already heard, in Old Lord's Road Gospel Hall. It's now demolished. And Old Lord's Road Gospel Hall and Joseph Street formed into one company that still continues. Shankill Road Gospel Hall. And in the city and other places, many of the assemblies are small numerically. But we're thankful to God, like Philadelphia. They've a little strength. They've kept his word. They have not denied his name. May God help you and I as we approach the year 2010 to go forward with the thought of continuity in our mind. Let us put all we can in. The Lord is coming as the word is with him, as you have heard. And you and I may soon be gone. Brethren, let us be like the Apostle Paul and think of that which we're leaving behind. I will mould in young men and young women to carry on divine testimony right until the moment that the Lord will come. Think of these departings. Philippians chapter 1, it's Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 4, it is the crown. In Acts chapter 20, it is conditions. When Paul is gone, will it continue? Or will grievous wolves enter in? May God help us to walk in his ways and in his fear right until the moment that the Lord will come. We've been asked to give thanks for the food.